Welcome back, everybody, to Arts About.
Show about art that's, as usual, a work of art in itself. Well, we'll see, anyway. We'll hope it's a work of art in itself.
It usually is, isn't it, John?
I think so.
Brought to you again by the generosity of the McClellan Gallery and Sculpture Park and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank studio in which we sit.
Yeah, I can see the sign.
So good morning to you, Cultural Sounding Board and Artist in Residence, John Baird.
Sally, good morning to you. Good morning, Sabra.
Morning, John. Morning, Sally.
And also good morning to Peter Swan, who once again is sliding the knobs for us. And I know that he was suspended a few weeks ago by Will Bailey, who was very upset about some of the words that he was using. But he's back with his lips zipped.
I think he was suspended as a result of a letter from Miss Dunbar.
That's right, he was too.
He was very upset.
I'm Sally Bailey, and you're listening to Arts About. John, what have you got for us this week?
I want to talk about a work of art that I'm aware of that barely exists.
Oh.
Even to the point of I can't find out the name of the person who made it, but I do know about it.
So that you, so the artwork possibly exists and the person who made it maybe doesn't?
It embraces the entire planet and yet it's made out of less than 2 kilos of steel.
Whoa. Okay. That sounds really good. Sabra? Random read?
Yeah. Siri Husrent, writing on misogyny in the art world in New York.
Okay. You alluded to that last week, of course, didn't you?
I used to run a misogynist club.
Surprise me.
Of course you did. Great news this week. We have the man who has recently climbed into the driving seat of the McClellan Gallery and Sculpture Park, John Cunningham, joining us this morning to talk about what we can expect from our favourite place. And we also have John-Paul Fishbart from Auspicious Arts, and he's going to outline the seminar he's running at Safety Beach Yacht Club, and it's called Secrets of Success, and it's Practical Skills for Independent Artists. And Lord knows, we need them. Sue Ann Cosen, should I say Lady Fox, actually, is coming in to talk about her new show called Harlem Soul. Cliffy will be here to give us his view from the precipice. So it's a tight show, so let's get going. The McClellan Gallery and Sculpture Park has become known as the leading sculptural institution in Australia. We're very lucky to have it in our backyard, and Arts About's even luckier to have them as our major sponsor. And it's they who generously enable us to stay on the airways and present our show each week. Originally known as Studio Park since as early as the 1920s, the site of Harry McClellan's painting studio was eventually bequeathed by his sister Annie May to honour her brother's memory and establish the Harry McClellan Art Gallery and Cultural Hall. It was opened as the McClellan Gallery in 1971 and has evolved since then to become the institution we know today through lots of generosity of many, including Dame Elizabeth Murdoch, and also the significant contributions from government, philanthropic and corporate partners, and of course not to overlook the efforts of a huge number of dedicated staff, a board of trustees and a huge list of volunteers. In July, previous director Robert Lindsay stepped down, and as a new director, John Cunningham was appointed to take his place. He's with us in the studio this morning, and we're very excited to meet him and hear what plans he has to steer McClellan through another phase. Good morning and welcome to Arts About, John Cunningham.
Good morning, and it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
John, you've been the deputy director of Regional Cultural Centre in Ireland, manager of the Paul Hughes Fine Art Gallery in London, and most recently, in fact, I think you left your position as director of the Warrnambool Art Gallery to take this position as director of McClellan. So given your involvement with such a broad spectrum of art institutions, both locally and abroad, how does our much-loved institution stack up?
Oh, I love it.
of course you'd say that.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I'm hoping my employers are actually listening. It's a gem.
Yeah.
If someone can't be enlivened by hanging out in 16 and a half hectares of native bush and being sort of moved by sculptures, then I think we have a real problem. I was doing accounts last week and looking over a spreadsheet and feeling remarkably sorry for myself. And I walked around the park and it was 4 o'clock on a Wednesday evening, came back enlivened.
Right.
I'd forgotten where I was with my spreadsheets, but that could wait for another day. So it's a magical place.
Yeah.
It's a real pleasure and honour.
I think that's one of the things that art does for us too, doesn't it? It actually reminds us of who we are and where we are and why we like being here.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Most institutions have collections because all we do is we try to analyse the past. And that's to understand the present but in the hope that we can map out a possible future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the joy of it.
Mm.
And that's where the magic comes.
Now, we know it as one of the most significant sculpture galleries in the country, but is that just spin, or is McClelland really something special?
Oh, it's unique, without doubt. I mean, the vision of Nan McClelland and sort of the innovation of the late Dame Elizabeth Murdoch have created quite an extraordinary institution. It averages about 155,000 visitors to the gallery itself.
155,000.
And about five times that to the actual park. So far and away, it's the most patronised art institution of its, you know, its size in the country.
Mm.
Second only to the National Galleries.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's
and it's free.
And it's free, everybody.
Which is quite extraordinary.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, every new director wants to make their mark when they arrive at an institution or in a new job. Are you still formulating what yours might be, or have you got a plan that you can impart from us, and can we get a scoop?
I am still formulating. There are many, many voices. You alluded to in the introduction, the trustees, the volunteers, the state and local government who support us, our patrons, our sponsors, and our general public. They all have a vested interest.
Mm.
And any idea of putting sculpture in any environment like public art in our streets, which is always really quite contentious, public art really isn't that different from public house or public toilet. If you do streetscapes here in Mornington and you don't inform the public, the very fact that they walk up and down every single day or live there or go to school or whatever, they get very annoyed if you don't engage with them and ask their opinion. So I'm going through this listening tour. The one thing I only have for my staff and trustees is we will create magic.
Mm.
Now, it's very difficult to quantify that or to qualify, but you know magic and you feel it. Yeah, when you experience it. So we have to look at this great strength, which is the actual park itself.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to maintain that as a great sort of natural sort of Victorian bush it is. And then to get involved in a conversation between art in the natural environment.
Yes.
You know, you can say that that's maybe talking about art in climate or weather and its modifications, which is certainly some of the great important debates we're having worldwide at the moment. We can do that in McClelland.
Mm.
We can do it amongst our friends. And it's an extraordinary place to create debate.
One of the most engaging parts of McClelland, I think, is that when you think of a sculpture park, when I think of a sculpture park, I think of rolling green hills with sculptures placed strategically amongst it. And in the Australian bush setting down there in McClelland, particularly where the prize entries go, there's that sort of bush walk that you get with the reveal going on around various corners, and it's a great way to look at those works. I think it's utterly engaging, actually.
Yes, and we
is
have
that
to
one of the first things you'll change, perhaps, John?
Yeah, talk about the ideas, John. it is. We really have to look at that idea of that conversation between art and the natural environment. Essentially, sculptures are just big toys.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, whenever I've been through there, I've always seen children darting in around and just enjoying it. It's just such an engaging space.
It is an engaging space. Yeah. And I think children are absolutely right.
Yeah.
There's a great line from Antoine de Jupere's novella, The Little Prince, where he says that adults understand nothing about the universe and it's exhausting for children to explain to them again.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of magic we can have that conversation in that natural bush with sculpture. And with sculpture of different types of forms, we can do more ephemeral. Even poetry. So it's playful.
Mm. It is playful. It makes you smile. It makes me smile just listening to you talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so at the moment, to answer your question, we're formulating a plan.
Yeah.
The plan will have, I believe, 50-year consequences for the organisation. But we're in the fun bit of it at the moment. We hope to sort of relaunch McClelland sometime next year, mid-next year, as a new type of organisation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
Now, I've read somewhere that you're very interested in the intersection between art, science and locale.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, I know that with the past director, Robert Lindsay, with his initiative, The Southern Way, which is those beautiful sculptures that we're seeing turning over down on the Mornington Peninsula, there's an element of that in that, which is, you know, you're arriving on the Mornington Peninsula, I mean, as well as trumpeting the McClellan Gallery in the near locale, you're also setting character too, because it's the main thoroughfare down onto the Mornington Peninsula. Mm. In some ways, that fits with your mandate. You're obviously going to keep that program running.
Oh, yeah. Well, that program, Southern Way and McClellan Commissions, which there's one coming up right now, ends in November.
Also, the Ram's Head's going?
Will be going in about 18 months.
It's coming to McClellan, though, isn't it?
It is coming to McClellan, but it's a very big Ram's Head.
It is.
It's 9 metres high. So we're just doing that one. So those commissions go on to 2034. So it's a unique public art project in the world. Yeah. Well, you have so many sculptures rotating in and off that. So if you don't like this one, don't worry. There'll be another one there in this space.
Yes. The gnome has caused quite a controversy, hasn't it? There are lots of people who really dislike the gnome. I'm not one of them. I love it. But there are a lot that don't.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of art. It's there to create that debate. But when we move the gnome, there's 22 and a half social media messages. Yeah. Yeah, 99.9% of them were negative that we were moving the Philip Price's Tree of Life and replacing it with a gnome. I thought it was brilliant.
Yes.
Because people were talking about it. And what they're talking about is their sense of place.
Yes.
People don't talk about art. Art historians talk about art. And they kind of miss the point. When you talk about an artwork or an object, you're actually talking about yourself. If you look at cinema, I would think it will probably be the art form of the 20th century. When people go to the cinema, they invariably don't go on their own. When you come out, the first thing you say to the person with you, say, what did you think?
Mm.
But of course, you don't mean to say, what do you think? You actually mean to say, what did you feel? Did you like it or dislike it? As Tarkovsky would say, the great first Russian filmmaker, filmmaking is sculpting in time. So what you're asking is, did you have an emotional reaction to it? Why do people discuss films in the hours and the days and the weeks afterwards? Is they're trying to catch up their intellect to what they felt. And that's, so they're actually talking about themselves.
Mm.
And that's the wonderful thing about it. Art is just a frame that people can, focus down on.
Plays with people's heads too. The gnome plays with people's heads. Yeah. I really like it for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it just mixes things up.
There was a great last year. There was an American author who wrote a book, which is how to gnome-proof your dwelling.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he believes that for 50 years, gnomes have been fishing in our lawns and so on and so forth, waiting for the time where they're going to create havoc. And he even has a 50-point plan to how to gnome-proof your dwelling.
Right. Are gnomes related to leprechauns?
Well, actually, leprechauns are an American invention, the fairies.
Hi.
So their gnosis would be they would be Norwegian, Nordic evil fairies. So there would be some relationship there.
Right, okay. Well, I was asking that question because I actually thought they were Irish.
Gnomes aren't Irish.
Leprechauns.
Well, leprechauns are Irish, but they're the manifestation of an Americanization of the Sheog, which they're called in Gaelic.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, sorry to digress.
I think the issue with the gnome on the highway there, on the freeway there, I don't have an issue with it particularly, other than that the turn-off to the gallery itself is on that corner. People used to look for the Tree of Life for the turn-off into McClellan Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got to re-educate themselves to turn off at the gnome instead.
It's not that hard, though,
yeah,
is it?
That's not a quantum leap.
Yeah. I haven't quite thought about that one, John.
Now, you obviously have a great belief in the importance of art in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you... What's your outline of it? What's drawn you into the arts? Why do you feel it's so compelling and important?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'll give you a simple answer, and it's from Ireland. When I grew up in Ireland, there's a little bit of a kerfuffle about a border, which went on for a long, long time, and I thought it would never end. And yet, in Good Friday 1998, Britain and Ireland signed a culturally binding agreement, essentially stopping a civil war. Now, no other agreement has been signed before or since. Normally, political agreements are by themselves political and economic. This is, I had one line from my father's great friend, the late Nobel laureate, Seamus Heaney, and it simply says, what separates us is infinitesimal in comparison to what binds us together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 40 years of artists and playwrights and musicians banging on the drums saying this very, very thing. Now, there's the power of art to actually,
describe the similarities.
Well, to stop a civil war and normalise political arrangements away from, as we used to fear, as the Armalite and the bomb, into normal conversations. Yeah, that's the power of art.
Mm.
That's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
That's pretty serious. Now, tell us, what's on at McLellan right now that people should come down and have a look at?
We have Australian artists in Bali from 1930s to now, which is a great exhibition created by Rob McRae. So it's tracing artists who've gone to sort of kind of the Java area of the 1930s on the Pacific and Orient. Some of them went there to lose themselves. But as they evolved and they see the changing of Balinese culture, and they realize, well, Bali is a, you know, is a, I suppose, a house of many rooms and corridors and basements and twists and turns. There's a great reciprocal relationship between sort of the Balinese artists and Australian artists, and each affecting each other in very, very profound ways. So it's a lovely tracing of those sort of 85 years of that connection. So it's a real joy to hang out in that exhibition. And of course we have sort of 18 and a half hectares of
sculpture
park.
Garden. Yes, of course.
And we're always messing about with that as well.
What can we expect coming up in the next year?
Chaos and nonsense.
Fabulous.
And a lot of fun.
Suits me.
And magic too.
And magic.
Look, it's been a great pleasure having you on Arts About today, John Cunningham. We wish you all the best and look forward to hearing and what else goes on and finding out what that magic might be. Thanks for coming in today and good luck.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Seven.
And now it's time for John on.
Thank you, Swanee. Sitting right there, not saying anything.
Yeah, lips closed.
Yeah.
2 kilos.
I do love the sting, and I keep thinking what else I can do with that particular little sting, and I thought perhaps get it on the phone at one stage.
Yes.
So every time the phone rings, now it's time for John on.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Or maybe an alarm.
No, morning. I love your message. I look forward to hearing what you have to say.
I never hear it. Yes, 2 kilos of steel. It may be a bit more that, or in fact, it probably is a lot more than that.
It goes around the world.
If you have a ball, a sphere,
yes,
you can fit a square around the sphere.
Yes.
And the ball will fit in, the circle will fit inside the square. So you take the equator of the planet as that circle.
Yes, that square.
There are 4 points on the surface where that square touches the surface of the orb.
Yes.
And there's an artist who has gone to those 4 points of the surface of the globe.
Yes.
And put little corners there where those lines would intersect with the surface of the Earth. And not really said anything about it. There's no big papers on it or anything like that. He's just sort of gone out there and put these little intersecting corners out there. And as it turns out, the only way that this will fit is to have one of the contacts on a Pacific island and on the very, very edge of an island in the Samoan chain. And it's the last piece of land on in the international time dateline, you know.
Yeah.
So the next island along is yesterday.
Right.
And it's the only place where it would hit the surface of the Earth, which I think is kind of lovely.
Yeah, it is.
There's something poetic about it.
I've got a little diagram in front of me. I'm just trying
like
to.
A science experiment.
Is that what you mean? Yeah. Like there. So it's the 4 points there where the Earth touches.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I glazed over. I'm sorry, John. It got a little
Stop
bit.
Listening.
It got a little bit mathsy for me or something.
Well, it's all art. It's about art.
Yeah.
And given the pressures of today, I thought that's pretty much all I'd have to say today.
Oh, really?
Talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's right. So. Do you know who this artist is?
No, I don't want to know his name.
Oh, he's just a guy.
It's that kind
or
of
might,
art.
Or could be a girl.
Is it art? Do I want to know his name?
It's definitely art. But I want to know his name.
Is the Lightning Field an art form? An art piece in America in Kansas? There's a man has put like 40 acres of posts, aluminium posts,
yes,
in the ground,
yes,
to attract lightning.
That is an art piece.
Right.
Do you think so, or do you question, do you wonder?
I don't. I think that if you want to call it an art piece, absolutely.
Yeah.
Then it is.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting. I'd like to go there.
So would I. There was actually rather spectacular lightning display over the last couple of nights at our place. Yes. Well, it was probably over your place as well.
Well, you've got a great vantage here. We've got a bit of a vantage point to watch the storms come across. Quite like a bit of lightning.
Yeah, me too. Dogs don't.
No, I don't have a dog.
Yeah.
Dummy me was riding my push bike, and when the lightning had just hit, I was so scared down at the national park. Not smart.
So that's it then, John?
Well, I will tell you a little story about lightning.
Yeah, go on.
During one of those thunderstorms you get across the peninsula, there was a lot of lightning and thunder, lightning dashing around all over the joint, and I was at home.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll go out and have a look. And I was walking around the street, and I walked down to the beach, and I could see the lightning heading off across the bay toward Mornington, perhaps. It was a summer's night, and I got into the water and thought to myself, well, if I just get into the water with just my head sticking out,
yeah,
I can watch the storm disappearing over towards Mornington. And while I was there with my head sticking out of the water, there was an almighty blast on the beach, and a bolt of lightning hit the beach not that far from my head.
Really?
You never go in on the beach or in the water in a lightning storm, like, duh.
Yeah. You know, did you go and dig around where the lightning hit? Could you see where it hit?
It must have been right on the edge of the water, I think, because I do know that you can get those sand blasts.
Yes, you can find glass in there.
Lightning strikes.
And a lot of surfers get taken out. Like, it's not a plan.
Really?
Yeah, totally. It's probably the most dangerous place to get earthed and blown up, John.
Don't do it.
There's windows for that. Or porches.
All right, then. Well, at least you'll be with us again next week. Sab, thank you, John.
That's okay, Sally.
Sabra, Random Read.
Yes, very random read. The Blazing World by Siri Husvent. I just love saying her name. New York author. Written about 5 fiction, 4 non-fiction. This one is about misogyny in the New York art world, and it is a fab read. The main character, it is a novel, the main character is Harriet Burden, and it's written as a sort of a bit of an academic piece of writing, although it is a novel, and it draws in pieces of writing or interviews from a whole cast of characters, and we are trying to understand who Harriet Burden, the artist, is. She's an older artist. She's been doing her artwork for a long time. At some point in her life, she's married to a very successful New York art dealer. And Harriet cannot get her work out there. She really struggles, and she comes up with a plan where she's going to use 3 blokes for 3 exhibitions. And so she collaborates with 3 different men, and the artwork goes out as their artwork, but it's actually her artwork. And the story is, the novel is built around that. It all goes so, like, it's obviously fraught until the last artist who actually, the bloke says, well, no, it wasn't her work at all. It was my work. And then he has a mysterious death. I won't go into it any more than that, but fascinating read, really well written. Wicked, quite funny, quite harsh, great insight into the world of art. It was really very well researched. It took me to thinking about women and misogyny, I guess, more so in the art world. And I came across a really interesting website, Countless, which is a blog, an Australian blog, which looks at women's participation in art in Australia. And something like 60-40... I'm not going to do a whole lot of stats, but 60-40 in favour of women going through art school, but something like over the years in the Archibald, 70-30 men represented against women. And there was one comment in the blog which I thought was really good. It's a little bit like the Abbott government saying, well, there just wasn't the talent or the merit to get women into the cabinet. They just don't exist. And that's the same argument, I think, that's put forward by... why women aren't equally represented in the art world and struggle so much to get their work out there. So if you're interested in looking at some statistics, they're not all grim, some of them are quite good and things have changed a lot, go to that blog, Countless. If you're interested in having a chuckle and a read about the art world and New York, and Women's Representation, have a look at The Blazing World by Siri Hustvedt.
Oh, I think I might read that. That sounds great.
Blazing World sounds good to me.
Yeah, it does. Hey, our next guest, Sue Ann, is a jazz singer and dancer known as Lady Fox, and she's at Speakeasy headquarters in Bourke Street every Saturday night, and on the 7th and the 14th of this month, she's headlining her own show for the first time called Harlem Soul. And as well as being a very talented young woman, she also has an enormous social conscience and is supporting a charity called One Girl Organisation, and all the proceeds of her shows are going to it. Good morning, Sue Ann, and thank you very much for coming into Arts About.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Hi.
Harlem Soul, what are we talking about? What kind of music?
So it's all the old jazz classic standards. So your Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, Nina Simone, all those beautiful old world songs.
Now, you're a singer and a dancer. Are you dancing in this show of yours?
No, this particular show I'm not doing any burlesque performance. But
which is a great shame, I have to say.
Yeah.
I've seen Sue Ann do a burlesque performance in my studio, as it turns out.
Really?
Yes, have. Yes, that was for one of the other charities that I did for Save the Bees Australia.
So tell us about the charity then. Why? What is One Girl Organisation and why are you so interested in it?
So One Girl Organisation help to raise funds for education purposes for girls in Africa, girls in Sierra Leone predominantly. They're also moving into Uganda at the moment, and they provide funds for scholarships to send girls to school. It's really sad that a lot of the girls in these countries, Sierra Leone is possibly the worst country in the world to be born a girl, and a girl is more likely to be assaulted than going to school. She'll be brought out of school at a very young age to tend to family or to work or to be married by the age of 13. So it's just an opportunity to be able to make sure that these girls get the opportunities that the rest of the world have. And yeah.
And what does One Girl do with those? How do they administer that in those countries, do you know?
So they have people on the ground over there who find girls that are very keen to go to school, girls that have been either pulled out of school and want to go back, or girls who have families that want their daughters to go to school. The people on the ground there will make sure that they're the best suitable candidates for their scholarships, and then they'll award them the scholarships for the year, and then every year again they'll have to reapply. So
fantastic. So, okay, back to the show, Harlem Soul.
Yes.
Remind us of the dates.
The 7th of November and the 14th of November.
And tell us about the venue, Speakeasy headquarters. Speakeasy is where they used to sell alcohol, isn't it? Where,
yes.
Under the counter in teacups.
That's right.
Do they use teacups there?
No, they don't. We don't need to, I guess. Speakeasy HQ is a little bar in Little Bourke Street, 377 Little Bourke Street. It's on the second floor. It's a small venue. It's quite dark and very smoky. It's a great place to perform. It's actually a variety theatre. Mm-hmm. So you'll see a lot of vaudeville acts, sideshow acts, circus acts.
Oh, that's up my boulevard.
The whole evening is from 8 to 10 is full of variety shows that you can watch for the evening. Lady Fox performs from 10, usually on a Saturday night, so it's a post show. People that have been there for the variety show can stay for the later act as well.
So what part of Little Bourke Street is that?
So it's just up, it's down Racecourse Lane actually. It's a little corner street. It's just after Chinatown.
Okay.
So you come through Chinatown.
The Chinatown area.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you also have a friend who is doing a yoga day at Breyers, and she's also raising money for the same foundation. Is that right?
That's correct. So both myself and Robin are ambassadors for One Girl Organisation, and she's having a yoga and wellbeing morning at the Breyers in Mount Martha on the 15th of November, so that's Sunday morning from 10 o'clock. She's got a small fee to join in. All the donations, again, will be going to One Girl and the Do It In The Dress campaign, which is the campaign that we do for the month of October. So we dress up in our school dresses. We get funded for that. People sponsor us, and we do all sorts of weird
things. Can I sponsor
things.
Swanee to wear a school dress for a day?
Oh, that would be fabulous. Yep. Get him in a school dress. And
now, you have a very personal connection and reason for being interested in this foundation, don't you?
Yeah, I do. My family are from South Africa, and my mum was a young girl pulled out of school at the age of 8 to look after her family, her younger siblings. It was just one of those things that her family were very poor and couldn't afford to send her to school, so it was just a better option at the time. So thinking about it that way, I think it's completely unfathomable in this day and age and in the country that we live in to think wouldn't go to school, girl wouldn't go to school. So it does make me think. It's happened in my family and it's, you know.
It's very personal.
Yeah.
Have you grown up with, has this been a dialogue in your family all the time about how empowering women need to be given the chance, or is it just something you've come to having discovered the story?
I think it's something, it's always been talked about. It's nothing that we've ever been ashamed of or my parents have ever been ashamed of. It's just how it was. I guess I've decided that it's not how it should be.
Yeah.
So I've decided that, I'm going to make sure that people don't think this is just how it is.
Well, you can help support this organisation too. It's extremely worthy. Lady Fox is playing at Speakeasy headquarters in Little Bourke Street on the 7th and 14th of November, 10 o'clock show, and all the proceeds are going along to that charity.
Yeah, the 7th and 14th show, they're at 6 to 8. They're an earlier show.
And that's Harlem Soul.
Harlem Soul is at 6 to 8, and you can buy tickets online at Tri-Booking through Speakeasy HQ.
Swanee's indicated to me through a series of signs that he doesn't have a school uniform of his own, so that looks like a go-ahead.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today. Good luck with the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
John Paul Fishbach is CEO of Auspicious Arts Incubator. He's someone who tackles the difficult area that lies between artists and their financial success. Many of us listening today would say that having a creative brain is almost a financial obstacle, and that handling the business side of our artistic endeavours is fraught with problems, disappointments, and certainly challenges. But apparently it is not out of our reach, and we can be taught to grow successful businesses. Our next guest, John Paul Fishbach, is running a seminar next weekend sponsored by the Mornington Peninsula Shire called Secrets of Success, and it outlines practical skills for the independent arts sector, and it can turn us into successful business managers and therefore happier artists. Is this really possible, John Paul?
Absolutely. You know, better than any other small business, it's driven by passion. And, you know, most of the artists we find are, they believe in the art. They believe in the creation of the art. So getting the business and marketing skills to get that out and get people to know about it is really highly possible.
Mm-hmm. Look, you run a company that's called Auspicious Arts. What is that and how did that develop?
Well, it's been going for 8 years, and it's my belief that independent artists have a huge potential to succeed. So we've built the Arts Incubator. We're the only one of its kind in Australia, the only not-for-profit business arts incubator in Australia. And it's just dedicated to giving artists and small to medium arts organizations the marketing and business skills that you need to thrive.
Mm. Why is it so hard for artists to kind of grapple those things?
Because we spend all of our time, I mean, I'm a theater and film artist, we spend all of our time in the creation place. You know, we're inspired, we're creating cool things. So if we went through art school, no one ever taught us any business skills. And once you get out there, our drive is to create cool things. So it's a skill set that we never developed.
Mm.
It's not that it's that hard, it's that we never developed it. And if you had your choice that said, I could spend some time learning about business and marketing and, you know, money management, or I could be in my studio having fun.
Yeah, which would you choose?
But at a certain point, when it turns from a hobby to a business, there's work. You have to go to work. You have to go to work for yourself. And that's not just creating products and services. That's about creating a business.
Yeah. Well, lots of artists, and I know some, I suppose I would include myself, almost freeze at the idea of managing all the mechanisms that are required to actually set up a business and get it generating some income. So it's no small feat to be able to outline that in a way to somebody and for that to have some effect. I mean, I am actually one of your recipients. I I have to, a disclaimer here, is that I have been a client of Auspicious Arts Incubator and it's been fantastic for me. So I do understand, and I can see that perhaps I could be taught some of those things. I have been taught some of those things. Now, you've presented this seminar, Secrets of Success, which is a new thing, I think, isn't it? Have you been doing this for long?
I think this is our third year.
Okay. Well, we had one in Frankston earlier this year, I think. Does this one build on that, or is this is it the same seminar that perhaps anybody that missed the last one might be able to come along and join?
It'll be very similar to the one in Frankston. So yes, if you missed the Frankston one, then you know it's coming down to your hood. So yes, it doesn't build on Frankston. It repeats it. But what we always do when we go into a region is we get the sort of the lowdown on what it's like. You know, I've done a bit of work in Mornington Shire, so I'm a bit aware of what's going on. You know, I appreciate how big the Shire is. I appreciate how spread out all the artists are. But I also am aware of this. There's a bunch of moves to do some networking, you know, looking at widening our scope to, you know, when we worked with Andrea on building this, she said, well, let's include musicians. Let's include event managers. You know, let's help people get the lowdown, you know, get the current information.
Yes, well, that has always been a great difficulty, is the disparateness of it. First of all, geographically, it's a big place, but it's spread out, and there have not been many lines of communication linking everybody together. That's definitely changing, of course, and it's definitely becoming easier to manage, given that social media is at everybody's fingertips. Presumably, that is a big part of
absolutely.
Yeah, and should be a bigger part of artists' repertoire of skills.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the first time ever in the history of the planet, you know, independent artists can achieve the same kind of business success and marketing success as the big guys, because it's about your effective use of the internet.
Yeah. So what's an artist, if somebody turns up, it's a full day, isn't it?
It is. It's a full packed day. So we've tried to take everything that we've ever learned in working with independent artists in 8 years and slam it into one intense day. And it's been really great. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about someone that was in the Frankston group, and they said, wow, you know, the thing was that I realized there's actually help for artists in business. There's actually specific help. yep, there is.
Yeah.
So, you know, they never, you know, artists just said, I never realized that getting business help was a thing for artists, but it is.
So, yeah. John, when you talk about the business of being an artist, there are three streams, as far as I can tell, in being an artist. There's the making, then there's the promotion and selling, and then there's actually running the business that's inherent in doing both of those things together. Do you deal specifically with one part, like the business operation?
Three. It's all three.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, they're linked, of course, and have to be linked in order to work. But there's a huge difference between making a work of art, which is really more to do with destroying something than making something, and running a small business, which is about keeping track of everything that's going on and having lots of due diligence.
Well, yes and no. The thing that's fun, though, is that when you're in the act of creating the thing, right, you are creating something that never existed before. You will be an incredible entrepreneur in that. You will challenge the conventions of the time. You will follow your vision. You will follow a plan. There will be things that the obstacles that come up, and you will surmount them. You will find all the resources that you need to succeed. Well, that's the same skill that you can transfer straight over to running the business.
Yes. Diligence, I think, largely.
Yes, John Baird. So tell us, John Paul, where, when, and how?
Where, when, and how? All right, so we are at the fabulous Mornington Yacht Club. No, I don't mean that. I mean Safe Harbor.
So you mean Safety Beach Yacht Club?
Safety Beach, sorry, yes. So we're at Safety Beach at the Yacht Club on the 7th. So it's Saturday the 7th.
Yep.
It's a full day. We ask people to come for 8:30, so we're ready for a 9 a.m. sharp start. And we try to end about 5:30. Yep. So Safety Beach Yacht Club, Marine Drive, Safety Beach.
Yep.
Saturday the 7th, and you book online at a special website that's called Arts Business Success.
Yes, that's right, .com. And for more information about the seminar or Auspicious Arts Incubator, you should Google Auspicious Arts Incubator and you'll find a whole lot more information as well. It sounds fantastic. I plan to be there myself and bring along a few folks. So thank you very much for talking to us today, Jean-Paul Fischbach from Auspicious Arts Incubator.
Great.
Thanks, John.
See you soon. Bye.
All right. Take care.
Now, the always reliably abrasive actor, commentator, columnist, and so much more, Cliff Ellen, is here among us today with his special view from the cliff. What is it today, Cliff?
Good afternoon. No, it's good morning.
It's good morning
it
still.
Is. Yeah. I've been watching the efficiency of this place. It's run like an Oval Office in the USA.
Do you think so?
Swanee there in the middle, not saying a word. It's really unusual to have Swanee not saying anything.
No, he's on probation at the moment. He's not allowed to speak because he was so cheeky and rude a few weeks ago. Will Beaulieu banned him.
Right.
We've got him back, but he's, you know, it's under...
I listened to last week's show. Carol Petullo was on just before me.
She was, yes.
God, I miss that. I wish I could have been in here for that. Because she's talking about...
She came...
but she's talking about a woman's place on the peninsula.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that would have floored me.
It would have, absolutely.
A woman's place on the peninsula.
Place?
Oh, God, you...
Would have been making pea and ham soup for Cliff, I would have thought.
You women out there. Honestly, you make me laugh. Look, apparently a lot of people like The Beautiful Lie. I'm one of the very few in this world that thought it was disjointed. And I did actually watch the second episode and I thought it was just as disjointed. It's a bit like The Slap. Anyone ever watch The Slap?
Yes, yes.
Slap was better directed, of course. This one's not as well directed. But The Slap was, you know, very Sydney. And this is in the same vein, even though it was made in Melbourne. And probably half of them the same actors. But A Beautiful Lie, what gets me is the characters. The man and the woman never convince me that they're in love, that they're madly in love.
Oh.
And that's the whole key to it,
yeah.
You know. I don't mind them copying the famous book, John. You know,
no.
We said that last week.
Yes.
But no, I'm sorry. But everyone loves it, so I apologise for that one. What else have we got?
I still haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
No, not watching it.
No, you can watch it. I'm just saying that a lot of people tell me they like it.
No, I might get around to looking at it, and I don't mind Russian literature, so perhaps it'll come across...
Yeah. Have you read the book?
Yeah.
So have I. Have you read The Idiot? So have I, twice.
Yeah, it's modern Anna Karenina.
Yeah. It's coming back to me.
I think I read that book laying around on the lawn in front of the library in Swanson Street.
Very sad ending, yes. But we won't tell all the people out there who've never read the book. What about this Catherine Devaney's books? Have you read them, Sam?
Oh, Catherine Devaney,
yeah. Isn't Devaney?
Yeah, I think I've had a look. Yeah.
A lot of people say, I must read her latest book, it's fantastic.
Yeah, she's pretty funny.
Is she?
Yeah,
she's smart-witted, isn't she?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
She used to write for The Age.
Yeah, she did.
Because she was really good.
Yeah.
And she sort of hit the wall. I can't remember what she hit the wall. What did she do?
She's an emotional lady. She's very clever, but I don't actually know it. I'm just going on what I read.
Do you know what her book's called?
No.
No, okay.
No, me neither. But, she's very sharp-witted.
About 10, you know. But what are we going to discuss? Oh, yeah, last week.
Yeah.
I went to see the wellness thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Bob was there with his lovely wife, but I didn't say hello.
Judy?
Yeah.
Phillips, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say hello, even though I think he's terrific, you know.
He is terrific.
He's 2 hours on it. Well, not 2 hours. I generally turned on about 9:30 on a Sunday.
So did you discover what well-being might be?
I did.
What is it?
It means actualising.
Oh.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. And they say you've got to actualise your body and your soul, sort of thing.
Really?
Oh, no, I don't know about that, Cliff. I think well-being is just a mind-body rather than just physical. So it sort of takes in a more holistic perception of what health is. So it's health and well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah, so rather than, because mental health's often been left off the list, or a sense of place or a sense of belonging, which we often talk about, or enjoyment of art, would all be part of health and well-being.
Right.
Yeah, so just a bit broader.
I just pick up on words and actualise, really. Sorry.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
And I like to use them in my column and You know, probably in a curmudgeon sort of a way. Who knows? Maybe
what,
not.
You, Cliff? Curmudgeon? I don't think so.
I don't
so
know.
Is the column back on the newspaper?
No.
This is bloggable.
I'm not going near the newspaper again. I've had enough. I just like to put it on the blog. I put it on every week. It's good as gold, free. Don't have to worry about some silly editor telling me what to do and rearranging things, you know. Melbourne Festival's finished.
Yes.
What have we got? Oh, we got Tom Hanks in another Spielberg movie, haven't we? Challenging our moral fibre.
Bit of a
called?
Kind of a personal...
Bridge of Spies.
Yeah, sort of a personal approach from Spielberg, I think. It's got a lot to do with his experiences of his during his childhood.
They're very close, those two, aren't they?
Yeah, I saw them interviewed together. They were joined at the hip.
Did you?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there was an interview last week that I saw. What about The Dressmaker? Have you seen that, Cliff?
No, I haven't seen it. I want to see it because I love that director.
Yeah, I think I'll go. I think I'm going to see that. That looks good.
But I've got to go and get a new Apple because nowadays they put everything on your computer. And mine's only a standard one. I need a big rectangular one. So I've got to go up to Chadston so I can see these things that I miss on my computer.
Yeah.
But
I'm looking, if you're going to an Apple store, I'd look forward to you reporting back from an Apple store.
Yeah, I'd like to see Cliff in an Apple store, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm going...
We're all nodding furiously.
I'm going up to Apple at Chadston, but I'm also going to Sydney.
Are you?
On Friday. Yeah, so I'm going up to see a show. What am I going up to see?
Are you going to the Belvoir by any chance?
Of course I'm going to the Belvoir. Where else would I go?
Yeah, don't know. What are you going to see?
It's opening night. Colin, what's her name? Freehill's in it.
Oh.
He's in a show that's in Adelaide now and it opens in Sydney Friday. Are you saying... Oh, Swanee's telling me to go.
Swanee's wanting you.
Haven't even started yet.
That's exciting. We'd like to hear a report about that. Yeah, no, you haven't got time to talk about
Sydney Festival. Okay.
What about, what are you doing this afternoon?
I'll go to the Apple Mac this afternoon.
Oh, okay, then, good idea. And a song, what about a song?
I'm miffed now because Swanee's kicked me out. Try a bit of Django, mate.
Yeah, Django Reinhardt. Can you do that, Swan?
Something normal song, you know?
What, that other people have heard of? There'll be a lot of people that haven't heard of this, Cliff.
Yeah.
Well, hard to believe.
You've got something to listen to now.
Lovely to see you, Cliff.
Honeysuckle Rose. Good on you, Doc. I've talked about nothing again. Oh,
yeah.
Never mind.
That's our job.
Goodbye, love.
We've barely got time for the news today, but we've got a little bit of stuff, of course.
It's a familiar refrain and a familiar feeling, getting to the end and feeling like, how did we get through that so quickly?
I know.
Australian artist in Bali, of course, we heard about that earlier, over there at McClelland Gallery.
That's right, until end of November, I think.
One suspects Donald Friend, Ian Fairweather.
Yes, I'll have to get along and see that.
I was going to say, John Anderson, local fabulous, great artist. He's got his show on at the moment at Australian Galleries, 35 Derby Street, Collingwood, until Sunday the 15th of November.
Couple of weeks for that
one. Yeah, couple of weeks, must see.
John Paul Fishbach, Auspicious Arts Incubator, presenting Secrets of Success on November the 7th at the Safety Beach Yacht Club. Go to Eventbrite and search Auspicious Arts Incubator, or I think he gave a different link actually in the middle of the show, but I will put that up on the Facebook page so you can find out.
Lady Fox brings Harlem Soul to the Speakeasy HQ in Melbourne on the 7th and 14th of November. All in the name of the One Girl organisation. You can make a difference, Swanee.
Swanee, are you going to make a difference?
Just
he does make a difference.
That school dress.
If you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About. So catch up with the show via podcast, which should appear on the station website sometime tomorrow, or hear us repeated on air and streaming Wednesdays at 12 after Health Matters with Angela Jacobson. You'll find a link to our Facebook page on the RPP website. And please join us again next week at 11 on Sundays. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art,
but we know
what
we
like.
And we know how to podcast or someone does.
Somebody else does.